Hello, everybody. Welcome to part three of episode 18 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. Well, we have been talking about narcissists the last two episodes, the types of narcissism and their definitions. Now we're going to talk about how to deal with a narcissist. And dealing with a narcissist can be challenging and exhausting. Trust me, I know. However, with practice, it can become more tolerable. Avoiding confrontation, setting boundaries, educating yourself, practicing self-care, and even ending the relationship entirely are all healthy ways of dealing with the narcissist. These actions are easiest when you are aware of and understand the limitations of a relationship with a narcissist. So here are some ways to deal with a narcissist. Avoid confrontation. Narcissists tend to have intense and aggressive reactions to criticism. So when possible, picking your battles and avoiding confrontation can help reduce your suffering. For example, if a narcissistic boss is putting down your intellectual ability, it may be more effective to respond with, "I'll think about that," instead of arguing with them and trying to prove yourself. Set boundaries. So when you set boundaries around the types of behaviors, they are appropriate versus those that are not appropriate. Remember to be firm and clear. Name the unacceptable behavior clearly. So when you're confronting them, go to them and say, "Don't speak about me behind my back." And make sure you use some assertion when speaking as often as needed. Don't go in there meek and say, "Please don't talk behind my back." Stop talking behind my back. Emphasize your keywords. Stop. Let them know you mean business. Educate yourself. So learning about narcissism and its impact can help you understand your experience. Find self-validation, feel empowered, and contextualize the narcissist's behavior. Don't take what they're saying personally. It may be very, very tempting to internalize what a narcissist says, but this may lead to unhealthy self-critical patterns. You need to remind yourself that a narcissist's opinions are simply judgments and not necessarily facts. Seek out support. Involvement with a narcissist can be exhausting, isolating, and yes, traumatic. Surrounding yourself with others who validate your experience is an important way of getting the emotional support you need. Just be mindful of what information you share about the narcissist's behavior in order to avoid further conflict. Avoid reinforcing a narcissist's behavior. Be careful not to reinforce unwanted behavior, such as grandiosity or praise seeking. That is, avoid giving indication that those traits are likable by smiling or agreeing. So if a narcissist is coming at you and they're telling you how wonderful they are, don't smile and nod your head yes. They're not. They don't need you to validate it. And practice self-care. This one is so important. I realize I don't do this and I need to start doing this. Narcissists may leave you feeling uncared for, unprioritized, and important. To combat these effects, consider practicing self-care. Try journaling, exercising, or doing pleasant activities. So for me, gaming, I've recently learned how to crochet. I sketch, I listen to music, I read. Self-care. Lock yourself in a room, put a note on the door and say, "The next 30 minutes are mine. Please do not disturb." If you have family around, Joyelle, I think you have to tell the kittens.
Kittens, you need to stop roughhousing around here. I need my personal time. And
Exactly.
I think like one of the things I like about this list, obviously it's never all like all encompassing. I'm sure there's some things that are probably out there on the internet that we haven't come across, but like one of the hardest things for me personally, and I don't know if it's the same for you too, is the avoid confrontation with the narcissist.
Yes.
Because for me, it is so freaking hard not to get up all in there and be like, no, you're wrong. This is why you're dumb. And just like want to go at it. Because in reality, it's not going to lead anywhere. The narcissist is still going to think that they're right. Even if you have proof to show them that they're wrong, it's never going to happen. In their little narcissistic mind, they're like, well, no, clearly I've made this up, even though I found 10 different books, 5 different websites, have specialists talking about it. It won't matter. I'm still wrong because they know everything. And that for me is the most frustrating part that I have with narcissists because it's like, ooh, it hurts my brain.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's very hard to walk away sometimes. But in my situation, I'm learning. So it's a learning curve. I'm learning how to not feed into their visions of grandeur, if you will. When they start, so when they start with these chest puffing exercises, you know, like, "I'm so wonderful.
I'm amazing.
Before I would have sat there and I would have been like, yeah, you know, I was the person that was smiling and nodding.
Oh, same.
And their ego was expanding. Now, and some people may think this is super rude, but I have a narcissist who is in that category of, "I'm so wonderful. Everything I do is like amazing. I am the best." When they start talking and it's going towards the self pat on the back, you should be putting a gold in on my chest, I think. I have literally just walked away. I'm slowly learning. I don't even say goodbye, I just leave. It's rude. Rude as fuck. But
I
I've
like
done it.
it.
Or my favorite. My eyes glaze over and I'm like, "What?" Like 5 minutes later, I'm like, "I'm sorry, I totally just I heard blah, 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 and I got lost, you know?" But it's not feeding into their turmoil. I'm tired of being caught in the hurricane that is you thinking you're the greatest.
Yep. That's honestly one of the things. The quickest way to just like pull the rug out from under a narcissist is to act as if you didn't hear a thing that they said. So you literally just come back to and you look at them and go, oh, I'm sorry, did you say something? I zoned out. And just watch as their ego crumples in on themselves. And you're like, that's right. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You did not go and save a kitten from a burning building. All you did was go into the kitchen and grab me a cup of water. I said thank you. You don't need to sit there and be like, I'm the best. No one else would have gotten that for you. I'm clearly the best, and post it all over Facebook. It does not make you the best. Calm your ass down.
Right. Now I'm gonna go put up a Facebook post. Taylor brought me a glass of water.
I have brought it to you on a silver platter. Here you are, my lady.
Was your ex-husband like a little bit like that?
So, here's my thoughts
I love your thoughts, Peanut.
on this
surprised she didn't.
list.
I'm surprised that she didn't come out with, okay, let me be the devil's advocate here.
No, here are my thoughts on this list, okay? Because honestly, I lived with a narcissist for 13 years. And to me, other than if you can't, like if it's somebody you work with or that you deal with in a other sense, other than a personal relationship, then I feel like these are acceptable. If you are dealing with it in a relationship, the only thing I feel you can do is when you practice self-care is to fucking leave. Because to me, avoiding confrontation, first off, it ain't gonna happen. Two, I don't find any of these in a relationship would deflate the narcissist. I feel he's just gonna keep, or she is just gonna keep going at it. They're not gonna respect your boundaries. You
Right.
can educate yourself. You're never not gonna take what they say personally because you're in a relationship with them. And they are supposed to be your support system, the most important person, the person you're sharing your life with, who you go to for love, affection, understanding, just being able to talk to. I agree to absolutely seek out support because you're going to need it. But honestly, why would you want to deal with any of this unless you absolutely had to, whereas it's a job or some other social interaction with them that you cannot avoid?
Right.
So, my question to you, if because obviously we've talked about it before, like you didn't know that your ex-husband, then husband,
No.
Was a narcissist. So you didn't know that because obviously, like obviously
But
today
I
in
did.
the episodes, we learned a lot. So if you were back then and you knew that he was a narcissist and like you learned, say like pretend that you were this, the words are not coming out. Pretend that back then this podcast existed and for some reason you were able to hear it. And it brought you the education of like you were able to listen to the episodes and go, holy crap, this is my husband. Do you think that that would have changed things for you? Like, would you have, because you talked about the practice of self-care for you
I'd have
now
ran.
would be to leave. Would you
I'd
have
have
run
ran.
back then?
I'd have run. I did, and not even knowing that he was a narcissist, I did seek out support. I did go to counseling, but thinking there was something wrong with me. But I feel like, yeah, I would run because honestly, you're not going to change that person.
They
As
have to be
much
willing
as
to change.
Yeah, as much as you want, as much as you avoid confrontation, I mean, eventually it's going to have, even doing any of these things is going to have mental ramifications. You're going to get tired of avoiding the confrontation. You're going to get tired of not being able to speak your mind, of to be your authentic self. To basically walk on eggshells, which you shouldn't have to in a relationship. The boundaries I feel will never be respected. So no matter what, I mean, educating yourself while you're educated, so you should know that this isn't going to work. You again, how do you not take it personally when you're in a relationship? I
Oh yeah, when
mean,
it's your significant other, it's
you
next to
can,
impossible in my case, in my
yeah,
opinion.
like I don't care. Everybody, we're human. And eventually, hearing it over and over and living it every single freaking day is going to wear you down. It is going to affect you mentally, no matter what. And to me, that is not the way to live. How happy are you going to be? Yourself having to avoid confrontation or set these boundaries, or I have to go to therapy just so I can be in this relationship. Like, yeah, to me, the best example of practice self-care, if it's in a in a relationship and you have no way, like, and you can avoid it, is to run, is to leave, is to live, is to think of yourself, because you can't, you're not going to change that person.
Well, to me, this list kind of
To me, it deals with if like it said in the first one, if you're dealing with a boss. So to me, these are more if you're dealing with somebody you, where you can't avoid dealing with a narcissist.
for me, it reads as a way of kind of like doing a step by step of how to get you out of the situation. Like if you look at it from a relationship, like a romantic relationship point of view, and you think about it, it's basically like one step at a time of getting you closer and closer out of the door.
So that you don't,
Because,
so you feel like you did everything you could.
well, not
So you
even that.
don't.
It literally starts setting you up because it starts pulling you away from the bad situation. So you stop giving in to fights with them. You start setting boundaries and forcing them to either accept them, or if they don't, then you just like you literally have your way out if you're looking for that kind of thing. You've educated yourself because you know by that point in time they're narcissists. And once you know that someone's a narcissist, it changes how you take things because then you're like, okay, it's not actually me personally. Like back when I first had my mental breakdown, and I believed her when she said that I was the narcissistic one. I was like, okay, well, all these things that I did. And then you guys were all doing these things that I had asked her to do as my supposed best friend. You guys were doing just because you're decent human beings. And all of a sudden, I was like, okay, maybe she's wrong. And you guys were all just like, yeah, she's wrong, dumbass. Like, she's wrong. She's the narcissist here. Once you learn that, then it's like, okay, all of those issues weren't me. It starts making you reevaluating it. And that's when a lot of people will be like, okay, I can go to therapy. And when you go to therapy, you're going for the right reason. You're no longer thinking that you're the problem. You go into it and you're like, okay, so this narcissistic dick is in my life. I'm doing all these things to do it. I think I'm getting one step closer to being ready to leave because you start setting the boundaries. You stop encouraging or even accidentally encouraging the narcissistic behavior. You don't smile or be like, oh yeah, you're the greatest in the world, honey. Like you're like, no, you're okay. And you walk out of the room. Or you just walk, if you're Dana, you just walk out of
I feel like, do you
the
want to waste that amount of time though? Like the damage, like I spent 13 years, okay? And the
room.
damage that that did to me mentally, even though I went to therapy and I seeked out support, I still, during that time, found it very hard to not believe that it was me, that I was the problem, that I was because that it wasn't about me, that it wasn't truth, because it was hammered in over 13 years.
Did your therapist at any point in time, like I know they can never diagnose the other person just based on things that you've told them, but did your therapist ever actually say that they felt your husband was
Oh yeah, they
narcissistic?
totally
Okay.
felt same with my dad and that, because
That's shocking.
he came into it, and I mean she said she would use word like, oh, he's a dick and blah 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 or he's an ass, like she was like blunt about it and that, but it's still when but it's still, because then you go back and the treatment continues, and even though like this one person says, it's still, it's your mind is so fucked up. I don't know how else to say it, that
Oh no, it's
it's a
completely
slow
true.
process. It was 13 years of my life. It wasn't just a mere, few months or a year or two. It was 13 years of it drilled into your head, treated that way. And seeking out support was, yes, it helped me, like, in a turning point to realize, but it doesn't clear up all those doubts or all those thoughts. It's not like, boom, I went to therapy and now I'm not thinking
You're
it's
not
me
magically
anymore.
cured. Yeah.
'Cause it's a lot of damage. It's a lot of mental and emotional damage.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Like the amount of damage a narcissist can do, even in a short period of time,
Oh, yeah.
is astronomical. And when you compound that with over a decade of hearing that, oh, okay, well, I'm the problem.
Not only
Then.
that, especially when they isolate you from friends, when they isolate you from family, when your family are narcissists as well, does not help at all to ease your burden or anything.
And I think that's the hard part for a lot of people when they're in these narcissistic relationships is that, number one, a lot of people aren't educated about it. Like I said, today's episode's taught that there's minimum nine different types that you can watch out for. And then on top of that, if you don't have a support system, you get drawn into it further and further when they're cutting you off from your friends. You don't have the support of friends saying, hey, you know what? He's being a complete asshole today. This is how he's always treated you. You deserve better. If you don't have those helpful voices in your ear, you believe what the narcissist is telling you. You're like, oh, yeah, I am worthless.
I just, through my experience, feel like if you do not have to deal with it, leave. If it is not a necessity, I feel like fuck these ways of dealing with it, in all honesty, and just leave and live your best life
So,
because you shouldn't have to walk do any of these things if you're with somebody that truly loves you, truly cares about your well-being, and truly wants to be with you. And why would you shortchange yourself?
Exactly. So that is a great lead-in to our next segment on how does a narcissist react when you can't when they can't control you? So you
So,
want go
well, I
ahead,
can read
Joya.
that. I'll read that. So, narcissists also gaslight or practice master manipulation, weakening and destabilizing their victims. Finally, they utilize positive and negative emotions or moments to trick others. When a narcissist can't control you, they likely feel threatened, react with anger, and they might even start threatening you. So, phrases and words that destroy narcissists. I know the truth about you, or I see right through you. I don't remember that. I'm busy and don't have time for you right now. You are a failure, or I'm so disappointed in you. It's your fault. I don't believe you. And goodbye. So I feel what came to a head in my relationship was. We were, well, first off, I started seeking therapy. So I was in therapy, and that was like, I still, his behavior, his way of treating me was still affecting me mentally, but I was feeling glimmers of the old me coming through. And I'm like a very just like straightforward person. I've always felt I was a strong person. And so we were discussing having children, and I cannot physically have kids. So I had looked into adoption. So I had adoption papers and everything, and like all the information on it and stuff. And first off, he didn't sit down and read a single piece of paper about it. Yet he continually was, oh, I want to have kids. And I want to have kids now. And adoption can take too long and blah, blah, blah. Then when we had went to the doctor, he said if I had gastric bypass surgery, that we could attempt to get pregnant, but he gave us like 2 pages of birth defects that could happen,
God damn.
or yeah, or things that could happen to me while I was pregnant, because I would be considered a very high risk pregnancy,
Right.
and that. And after that, it was like we didn't go home and then discuss it, right? And I felt like there was something, like I had that feeling like I had for a while, that something was wrong. And I would ask him, and I've said to him, like, I feel you don't love me anymore. And again, it was all, oh, that's all in your head, and blah 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 blah, and so forth, so on. And then I think finally one night I just kind of said, like, listen, if we're going to be doing this, like, I'm not doing this alone. I'm not going to be raising a kid alone. Like, you're going to have to step up, and you're going to have to be more responsible, and you're going to have to, start coming home. And I'm not going to be sitting here telling you, like, oh, the grass needs to be cut, when you can fucking see that the grass needs to be cut. Like, grow up, is what I said to him. And that's when he came out with, I don't love you anymore, and walked out on me. So I guess that, how does a narcissist react when they can't control you? I guess I was taking back at that point a bit of my control without really realizing what I was doing, because I didn't realize he was a narcissist. And that was, he walked out. That was how happens when you can't control them.
Wow.
It's amazing when they lose the power in a relationship. Suddenly they're just like, well, I'm not doing this then. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, okay, I didn't realize that you were only in this to control people. Well, I guess I should have seen that sooner. I didn't. Damn.
Yeah, like this morning, you just loved me. You said you loved me, gave me a kiss goodbye. And 8 hours later, now all of a sudden, you don't love me. You're leaving me, and you're going to go have children with somebody else.
Yep.
And then I find out you're cheating on me, although he denies it to this day.
They
So.
just
Really?
hurt the head. They just sincerely hurt the head, where you're just like, the lack of logic is astonishing in
And
narcissists.
I don't feel like, I feel like some of these words and phrases, again, this is just my opinion, having dealt and lived through it, is like, if I told him he was a failure, I'm disappointed in you, that would so, like, not, he wouldn't care, because my, in all reality, your opinion does not matter to a narcissist. First off, two, he would turn it around on me. And it would be my fault somehow.
It depends on the narcissist, because I know a lot of these for my, actually, at least two of my exes saying that you're a failure or you're a disappointment, or that I'm disappointed in you, would have torn them to shreds and left them in a ball on the floor. But it's funny because thinking back to these kind of things where I purposely avoided saying any of these kind of things or any sort of variation of these things. Because I knew that in my ex-fiance's case, it was like, okay, I knew subconsciously that they would be turned on me somehow, where it's like, okay, she'd tell me something and be like, that's not what you told me before. And she'd get all defensive and be like, yeah, that's what I said. Or try and turn around if I was like, well, no, this one time you told me about this. And she's like, that's no, I don't remember saying that, having that conversation with you. It's like, we just had that conversation 2 nights ago. What are you talking about?
Yep.
And it would just get turned around on you where it's like, really? There's just no happy place with a narcissist.
Yeah, I feel too, like again, I didn't know he was a narcissist at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint too, these are really rude things to say. And why right? would you, why would you, like, I'm supposedly, like, love this guy, and now why would I even come out? To me, that's, you're stooping to their level, which I guess mm-hmm. as a narcissist, you need to do, right? To deal mm-hmm. with them. But if, like, I didn't know he was a narcissist. So for me to even think about saying something like that to someone would be, like, really, like, that's just rude. Mm-hmm.
The only time, and I've seen this meme a million times, and it makes me laugh because it's so freaking true. The only time that I will full out say that I don't believe someone is when you ask where the remote is for the TV. That brings out the trust issues in everyone, because I have to, I don't believe my dogs. I don't believe my mom. I don't believe anybody when I'm like, where's the TV remote? Oh, I don't know. Stand up. I want to see underneath you. Stand up right now and you show me that it's not underneath your ass. And suddenly the trust is gone. That is the only time that I've used that. That's nothing to do with narcissists. That's just everything to do with I don't trust people that they haven't stolen the remote and hidden it somewhere. But it's only ever the remote. Anything else, I'm like, oh, you don't have it? Okay, and I'll keep looking elsewhere for it. But it comes to that and suddenly I've used the line, I don't believe you. And if you're a narcissist, now I don't even believe you. Like, I believe you even less now. I think that you not only have the remote, but you're hiding it in your cleavage and you're using it and fucking with me. Like there's a new added level or something. Okay. And now for our next section, it's, I think we decided to call it basically the things of not to say to narcissists. And the very first one I feel like attacked on. Because I know I've said it before and now I regret saying it. But number one is don't say it's not about you. Oh, but it is. Everything is. Every job promotion, baby bump, friend's new romance is a fresh chance to refocus on the only perspective she can connect to, her own. She might not realize she's doing it, but pointing it out will only make her more defensive.
So I have to say one thing before I continue on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how they used she, because it can be a guy. And she, to me, is female. And they're making it sound like just females. So I had to point that out.
So it's nothing actually to do with it. It's just she, he, whoever it is.
Yeah,
them.
It should be them. Or they. Him, her, or yeah.
Yeah, it's like a generalization.
Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
I like that she got so, you got very defensive about that, Joyelle.
I noticed it earlier when I was reading it too. And I was like, God, I don't like how they use it, her and she, because they're making it sound like it's just a woman that can be like crazy like this or something.
We've used example of, I think, men more so in this than we have women. I think we can let them have this one and be like, yeah. Because trust me, women can be just as crazy. I have proof of it in my litany of exes. And I know that my first one, the one that I call my sister, will hear that and be like, you talking about me? You talking about me? Yeah, I am. You crazy. I love you, but you crazy. We both know that we're crazy. We embrace the crazy. So outside of that, you don't have any issue with the it's not about you. Don't say it's not about you.
No, I just had an issue with the she.
Okay, so the second thing to don't say is you're not listening. Ooh, I say this one too. God damn, I feel attacked on all of these, Dana. What the hell? How dare you?
I'm sorry.
It's not that a narcissist won't listen to the woeful tale of how you injured your knee while jogging. Well, that's not happening. It's that she can't. Stopping to listen would mean acknowledging the deep-seated insecurity at the root of all her problems, that she isn't worth listening to. Instead of explaining, take a different tack. Can I tell you how my surgery went? goes over far better than, "I cannot believe you haven't even asked me about my surgery." Chances are you won't get more than a few words in, but baby steps. I'm guilty of the "you're not listening." 1,000,000% I'm guilty of that. I know I am. Number three, don't say Ina Garnett.
Ina Garten, she's a food network chef.
Oh, okay. Did not get her lasagna recipe from you. For truth lovers, this is a tough one. Ooh. But a narcissist sustains herself with boastful, oat-sized claims that make her feel important. Friendships with celebrities. Dana, it's you.
Oh my God, I know
Awards.
a few hockey players, people. Calm down.
You're our connection to fame. Awards. Even when those claims are some version of a lie, correcting her only reinforces her low self-esteem and her fear that everyone will find out what she already believes, that she is not good enough. I have mixed feelings on that one. Not even gonna lie. Don't say, "Do you think it might be your fault?" Nothing is ever her fault. Lost job, broken relationship, financial ruin. Whatever befalls her in life can be blamed on bad parenting, bad luck, bad sushi, anything but her own flawed decision making, because her fragile sense of self depends on a carefully constructed, idolized version of herself. Any criticism of her actions feel like an attack, to which she responds in kind. Ouch. So that one I have to say, I don't feel attacked for. That is very much my ex, where if you ever even hinted at the fact that, hey, maybe she made the bad choice with sleeping with someone else's husband, and that the wife had justification in being mad about them being friends, you were in the wrong for pointing that out of, well, how could you say that about me? Well, these might have been fair points. And then there's Dana, who, as she walks out of the room, she's just going to be yelling over her shoulder, "Slut,
Whore.
whore of Babylon, you are." Number five, don't say you're being a bully. There's a predictable script when you're talking to a narcissist. She wants, needs, expects something from you, and you resist. The tone becomes adversarial, then heated. She insists that you're selfish and threatens to withhold something from you: love, support, power tools. The fact
Hate when
that
they
she
fucking keep my drill for me.
God damn, you know how often I need that damn drill? The fact that it's hurtful to you is irrelevant. She doesn't care how you feel because she doesn't understand how you feel. Explaining your feelings, if you can get her to listen, is better than calling her a bully, which is likely to make her double down on her outrage.
Oh, are you just
Outrageous position. Thank you. Number six, don't say stop playing the victim. I just think that you should, but all right, fine.
that's
Here's the thing.
me. I've used that one. Oh, stop playing the
As we both giggle maniacally at it. Here's the thing. There is no playing. She really does see herself as a victim, Dana. And many times she actually is in her
Oh.
old world. Narcissistic behavior is often a response to trauma, a way to protect oneself and mask vulnerability. Validating any part of her pain goes further than taking a sledgehammer to the fragile framework on which she's hung her self-esteem. Seven,
Could have just cut it
don't.
off itself, hung
What was
herself.
that?
Could have just cut it off itself, hung herself.
You went dark. I like it.
I would
Number
so
seven.
die.
Don't, what is number seven? Don't say it's not a competition. Oh, for fuck's sake, I've said this. For narcissists, you're either on top or you suck. There's no in between. Everything is a contest. Who makes more money? Who grills a better burger? Who the red lipstick looks better on? This kind of feels like one of the parts towards when we talked about the famous people and all that with their
Yes.
narcissistic ways. Looks better in the makeup. Da, da, da. Shine up your halo, because in this case, the best thing to do is see the narcissist's need to win as a function of her bottomed out self-worth, and let her have it. The less you care about the score, the less you'll need to compete. And number eight, the final thing. Don't say let it go, but I sing it. Let's say she gets dumped by her best friend. If you suggest that she move on, she'll either dig in, subjecting you to yet another rant about how terrible her best friend forever, mother, brother, colleague, friend is, or she will spend an hour explaining how she doesn't really care anyway, because she is, after all, so much better, stronger, smarter, richer than whoever hurt her. Either way, the one to let it go needs to be you. Listen until you're all out of ears, and then proceed to the nearest restorative yoga class and call it a day. So do
So
either of you have good?
I need to change some of my phraseology. I need to stop saying let it go. Stop playing the victim. God, you're a bully. It's not always about you. These are common things in my vocabulary.
And it's, I have such mixed feelings about this list. Like, I understand it to the point where saying the things to a narcissist isn't going to make a difference. We're going to say the things, and it's just going to become a heartache for us, because we know what we're saying is there to help them. But in their mind, like it said, and basically all of them, they're going to double down and be even more narcissistic. But then I had that feeling where it's like, okay, but if we let them keep getting away with it, on the other hand, where we just listen to them play the victim or listen to them go on about something else, at what point in time do you cut it off and say, like, hey, you know what? That's enough. Let it go. Move on. Like, at what point in time does your own mental health become more important?
I think that goes back to the self-care and that
Yeah.
where I say like just don't you shouldn't have unless you absolutely have to don't deal with it because
Yeah.
like you said it's going to come back no matter what to your own mental health because to me like they're not going to listen. I don't think that's the whole point of a narcissist, right? I think that these would work maybe if the narcissist was being treated. Perhaps these phrases and these things to avoid would work. But if they're not seeking out treatment or help, I honestly, in my opinion, do not think that they will change and these are going to work.
Right.
And I think that you make a really good point there, where I'd probably be willing to alter my lingo per se for these kind of things if I knew that the narcissist was seeking help and trying to change how they were. Where it's like, okay, in that case, then I'd be willing to do something where it's like, all right, you know what? I can say this in a better way. Let me try and think of a way to rephrase it where it's still going to be the same thought process getting across, but it's not going to be in such a harsh tone, maybe. Whereas if they're not going for any sort of therapy or getting any help, then I'm probably going to end up losing my shit and just going, okay, no, let it go. It's not a competition. Calm down. You don't have to be the best at everything. You aren't the best at everything.
Right.
I like that it's not a competition because and I don't even like It's just for the most stupidest shit. When I was married, to me, again, it didn't come across as narcissistic. Came more across as just plain childish and immature. Is that say, like, me and my husband were somewhere and we needed like towels or something for the house, or like I wanted new bedding or something like that. And we'd buy it, then he would have to get something. Like a child, like, well, you got this, so now I need this. And a lot of times it's like, okay, but we've been scrimping and saving so I can get new towels because ours are all raggedy, as opposed, like, we can't afford both. And then I would end up giving up towels so he could get something. Which I
Oh
never
my
thought
God.
as narcissistic. I just thought immature and childish.
Oh yeah, hands down, that would have been my first thought. But then now looking at it, I can think of a couple other people who fit that exactly where I'm like, oh my God. No, that's a narcissistic trait. Oh my God. Like, what the hell? Oh. It really changes your perspective on things when you think about something like that. You're like,
It
no, you're
does.
right. It really, really does, because then when you actually have what I normally would have termed adult friends who sit there and go, hey, we went out shopping today, I grabbed this, and you're like, oh, well, didn't your husband have to grab something too? Because you grab something, he's got to grab something.
Yeah.
And then you hear from them and they're like, no, we only had money stocked up for this one thing. Why would he get something? It's like, is that not normal? That's not normal. Oh shit. Oh no.
That is being childish. Like, you're scrimping and saving because you need new towels in your bathroom, and he starts pouting like a little child.
Yes,
Well,
and
I
that
deserve a treat too.
it would turn into an argument, and that because it would be like pouting like a little
Gonna
child,
fucking
and he
punch
would
him.
get angry. It absolutely would. And you know, this, like, when he met, like, for most of our marriage, he I don't know, he didn't have this one friend that he had met. And once he met him, it was like I was competing with this guy for his affection.
Right,
And
yes.
the whole and this so this guy would do, like, he went hunting and stuff like that, okay? Fucking 13 years I was with him. Never once in 13 years did he have any want, need, inclination, nothing. He's never in his life went hunting or wanted to go hunting. And now all of a sudden he needed to get a hunting license and he needed to get a gun and a gun license. And it's like, for fucking 13 years, you have never had 1 ounce of interest in hunting. And now all of a sudden, this guy hunts. So now all of a sudden, you're interested in hunting.
Yep.
I was like, who the fuck are you? And do you think we had money for that?
Oh
No.
God, no.
Oh, God, no. But do you think he cared? No, we were supposed to scrimp and skate, save to get the money for him to do it. Or I was to give up something so that he would have the money to do it.
Wow.
Such is the way of the narcissistic brain, where you're like, well, I'm the important one, so clearly you're going to give up whatever dreams you have,
Yeah.
and we're going to do my thing. And the problem tends to be that when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you believe them when they say those things. You're like,
Yes.
you're right. I should give up all of the things that I love and hold dear, and I should go and do this.
Because it
You're 1
happened,
million percent right.
it didn't happen when we were dating. It
Oh, God,
wasn't
no.
like that. It wasn't like that when we were engaged. It began after the marriage. And not only that, I did not come from a family that had My parents did not have a good, stable relationship. There are two people that in this world never should have had children to begin with. And I, in on myself, have never had a good example of a relationship. All my relationships have been crappy. And so I knew no better, right? Because I was like, is this what it's supposed to be like? And when I went to my dad to seek answers, to seek help, it was, what do you care? Marriage is a business proposal.
So romantic.
A business proposal?
Yeah. He's like, you just stay there and get what you get until it's done. He goes, then you move on.
Oh my
Oh,
God.
excuse me while we go back to the Middle Ages. I will take three goats for my daughter.
Oh my goodness. When I, after my husband left, because you said the Middle Ages, the one time we were freaking arguing with each other, and that, and he was like, you promised me a girl, a child, a girl or a boy, like a child. You promised me. And I was like, I didn't promise you shit, buddy. Like, who?
Gotta love when they try and lie you,
I promised
try
to
and
bury
convince
you a
you.
child.
Like, yes,
Lord.
I must bury you a son so that your name may continue on. No, okay.
I never, from the day I met him, I swear to God, almost from the day, probably 2 or 3 days in from meeting him, I was very honest that I could not have children. I never
Wow.
hid it, I never lied about it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, you're always saying you don't want children. Yep. Because who I did, that's what, if anybody asked me, I said I didn't want children. I would say it to everybody and anybody who asked me. Because is that not easier than, or more, less emotional than having to tell somebody that I cannot have children?
Absolutely.
And two, is it anybody else's business if I
Exactly.
cannot have children? So I feel like, you're basic, you're a woman. That's pretty much like basic, not basically, but that's a big part of why you're on this earth, to procreate and stuff. And I
Or
can't
say,
even do what
in
my
the eyes of
body's
men,
meant to
yeah.
do. But even still, like, in just in the eyes of nature, like, that's what our bodies are, you're built to carry a child. You're built,
Yeah.
that's what our reproductive organs are for. And to not even be able to do what you were created to do, like, that there alone is like, you feel like a failure. So why would I? Of course I just said that I didn't want kids, because it was easier.
Yeah.
But to him, he knew the truth.
I was saying, in his case, he knew the truth. Like, he obviously, when you start dating someone, you explain to them, like, once you know that it's going to be serious, you explain that it's like, okay, it's not just that I don't want kids, it's that I can't have them. So if that's something important to you, you need to, like, tell me now and we can end it
Yep.
now.
Yep.
Instead of being like, oh, well, no, it's okay, it's fine with me, it's fine. Like,
That's what I
obviously, it was
got.
not.
Yeah, that's what I got. No, I'm with you because I want to be with you because I love you. We can adopt or blah blah blah. That's not important. And then I wasted 13 years.
It wasn't important until it became important.
Exactly. No,
Asshole.
excuse me. And I think one of the
Well,
things that's important for everyone to know, just because we've mentioned it in passing a couple times throughout the 3-episode arc that we have, is that there are actually therapies that narcissists can go into. Like, there's specialized therapists and psychologists, all that kind of stuff, that are specifically made for narcissists to try and teach them how to actually feel empathy, to feel feelings, and to understand the world around them. Problem is, most narcissists won't go into it because, in their minds, there's nothing wrong with them because they're perfect. It's everyone else around them that's the
right.
problem. So there are therapists out there, and for anyone who hears this, and if they find that they are a narcissist or that they have tendencies and it worries them, you can go and find a therapist that will be able to help you with it. It's not something where you have to just sit there and go, well, I'm a narcissist. This is who I am for the rest of my life. Like, no, you can go and find people who are more than happy to help you. And obviously, you can get support from your friends and family around you and be able to talk about it and say, hey, you know what? I listened to this crazy ass podcast by these three weird chicks who went over definitions of narcissists, and I identify with a handful of them. I would like to go seek therapy to see if it's true, if I do actually have these tendencies. And if I do, how can I better myself so that they're not there, so that I have healthy relationships, I have fulfilling relationships that are meaningful and not harmful to everyone involved. So it's not one of those cases where it's just, oh, well, these are narcissists, they're done and dusted. There are options out there for them. There are,
Right.
of course, the ones who won't go for it. My ex went to therapy, but never once did narcissism come up in her conversation. She had other things to deal with, but not narcissism. And she will never admit that she's a narcissist. Neither will one of
No,
my other exes.
I don't think you would ever get a narcissist to admit that they have an illness.
Not one that would actually peg them as a narcissist. Like, it's funny because I think basically, actually, yeah, all of my exes go to therapy or have gone to therapy. And one of the worst narcissists that I dated was in fairly hardcore therapy when I was with her. And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm working on all these other things. And it wasn't until like years later that I kind of had that thought of, she's a raging narcissist as she goes from one relationship to the next, just destroying people. But that never came up in her therapy. It was, oh, well, the childhood trauma and this and that. It's like, well, yeah, but what about these narcissistic tendencies you have? No, those
Yeah.
aren't there. But my mom is like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. What an intricate topic.
It really is.
I'm glad we talked about it and touched on it and made people aware. Even
I'm
if it
glad that
took
we.
us, if it took us three separate episodes to do.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I'm glad that we actually took the time to do it over multiple episodes and not just, here's a 1 hour little snippet. Just because it really plays into that educating to show people like we learned, they learned. Here's like nine different types of narcissism.
Yeah,
You can now watch for them.
and who's to say maybe somebody will listen, is gonna listen to the three episodes, and they're gonna hear us, and it's gonna sound like we're talking about them. Because like you never know. Somebody could pick up on it, and then if they're already in therapy for their depression or their anxiety, they could say to their therapist, you know, I think I have narcissistic tendencies. Can we talk about that? And maybe just maybe it'll open the conversation between a therapist and a patient. And people will start recognizing that it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a mental illness. Get it treated. You don't, as much as you want to, you don't need to live your life thinking you're the goat.
Yes.
But you know what,
They're the
also, on the other hand, people, maybe somebody that's in a relationship with a narcissist will hear this and decide to get out of that.
Absolutely. Somebody who's
Because,
being gaslit and they didn't know.
like I said, I went the whole relationship not knowing. And then even years after the relationship was done, I still didn't think anything about narcissism until one day I was reading an article about narcissists and gaslighting, and I was like, holy shit, that was my marriage. That sounds exactly like my marriage.
It's crazy.
So I hope that anyone who listens to this kind of gets that idea of they'll be able to pick out the friend that is that way, their spouse that is that way, maybe themselves, but now they'll be able to identify it, like we'll be able to identify it and be like, oh, red flags, I'm out.
I'm
Or red
running.
flags, let's work on this.
No, I'm running. There ain't no working on shit. I'm running.
Well,
You're on your own.
I have my own mental health issues. I'm out.
Well, we thank our listeners for joining us on this week's journey. It is a journey. We conquered a mountain today. I'm very proud of us, ladies. Joyelle, thank you for sharing your story. Taylor, thank you for sharing yours.
And you too.
Again, friends, if you listen and you resonate with what we've talked about, we'd love to hear from you. Taylor's going to throw some more information at you where we can hear from you from. Take it away, Taylor.
Where we can hear from you from. Wow.
That's right. Said what I
Oh.
said.
Okay. So as always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you don't want to reach out that way, you can reach out to us on Facebook. We do have a page, same name, has the I was going to say a smiley face, but it's not. It's a frowny face with eggs. And we post everything on there. And next week for episode 19, it's going to be about being touch starved, which is a big topic more so for me because I've noticed it more and more so. So that's going to be an interesting topic, I think, for a lot of people, because I know I've had the conversation with a bunch different friends and all that, so I'm curious to hear what you ladies have to think about it.
Before we wrap this up, I have one question
Oh
for
my God, she
Dave.
spoke before the end.
I know, because
Absolutely.
I was just sitting here thinking about like everything we talked about, and like with me and Taylor, our narcissist was more relationship forward, and that, and so with Dana, I'm just curious, did you find that any of these tips and tricks and things to say and not say, or things to avoid, will help you with yours, because you're in a different situation where you don't have the luxury of not having to deal with it.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I had done research before on dealing with a narcissist. So, and through my therapy, talking to my therapist about it, and my therapist gave me a lot of the what not to say, not what to do. I had already known about them. And it's just basically not engaging in their bullshit. So my narcissist is a grandiose narcissist. Looks for the pat on the back, plays the victim very well. And it was hard at first because I was the person that smiled and nodded, like, shut the fuck up. You're thinking that in your head. But you're just smiling and you're nodding your head yes, and you're like, shut the fuck up. But not engaging was one of the hardest things that I've done. And that's what I said. People will judge me when I say I just get up and I walk away, but you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. And I mean, yeah, I want to elaborate, but I can't. And you guys know the reason why. So when I say not engaging them was difficult, you guys know how difficult it was for me. But I'm getting better at it, and it's getting easier, and I'm teaching others to do what I do, to do what I'm doing. And it's been hard because there have been times where I've sent my therapist a text message and I've said to her, I couldn't walk away this time. I've had the confrontation and now I'm spiraling. And we've had a phone call and she's talked me off the ledge basically because I know in myself I'm not a confrontational person. I try to avoid it when I can. But there's just sometimes when it's like the stars align, if you will. And I just know it's almost electric in the air. And I'll look at my husband and I'll be like, there's going to be a banger and I don't want to be part of it. Let's go. Let's just go for a car ride. Let's not have people over to play cards because one thing's going to set me off and I don't want to go down that road. So yeah, they have helped me. The tips and the tricks have helped me, but it's a learning curve. So anybody that deals with the situation or anybody that's dealing with a narcissist can use those tips, but it's tread lightly when you use them. Use them, but use them to your situation. Like, I would never look at my narcissist and say, stop being a bully. You know what I mean? But I have said it's not about you.
Yes.
So I've actually, and I know our listeners can't see it, but you guys can. I've actually done the, it's not about you this time. My hand
Off
comes
to
up in the air. It's like,
the
whoa, calm down. It's not about you this time. So yeah, honestly, Joyelle, I have found that through therapy and with those tips, I have been able to diffuse situations.
But it definitely doesn't change the narcissist.
Oh God, no, because the narcissist can't admit. If the narcissist can't admit, all you can do is what's best for your mental health.
And I think
Leverage
that's the
can't.
important thing is that highlighting the fact that the lists that we're reading aren't meant to change the narcissist whatsoever, because you can't. You won't. It's not going to happen. It's ways to deal with it that's good for your own mental health. Nothing to do with them personally. It's everything to do with you avoid confrontation because it's going to be worse on your mental health than it is for them, because they're just going to keep picking at it and your mental health deteriorates. Whereas going about the way that like Dana does, where you just go, okay, you know what? I'm walking away from the situation. It saves her own mental health compared to if she gave in to it instead. No matter what, the narcissist still going to be the same, annoyingly, but you're going to be in a stronger foothold than you were before.
Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay.
I just wanted, because like I said, like yours is a different situation
Yeah,
than what.
mine's a very unique situation. A very
And I, it
unique.
just made, I don't know, I just thought of, when I was reading one of the things again, it just made me think about your opinion on it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for checking in on me.
I know we did a lot of talking.
And on that note, friends, you can find us on Podomatic.com, the Depressed Breakfast Club. Sign up. It doesn't cost you anything. Membership is free. You don't have to do a podcast, but you do have to have a membership in order to like and comment on our podcast. The more likes we get, the more lovable we are. And we will stay relevant on the mental health list. So our goal is to just stay within the top 10. So we need your likes, we need your love. On
Yes.
that note, enjoy the rest of your day.
Ciao.
Oh, bye.